Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Last week, we had a discussion on the relationship between stress and physical illness. And then we find this great article that says, you know what? There is this relationship, but your stress doesn't have to be that much, high before to really have an effect on your body.
That's right. Well, the discussion we had last week was major stressors, you know, things that you're obviously aware of.
Right.
And then we run into this other article that says even minor distress can put you at risk for physical diseases.
Right.
Okay, fascinating article and a fascinating study because of its size.
Right.
You know, that's what impresses me about this one is that when you have 16,000 participants, you probably should listen because there's probably information in there that we should use.
Yeah. So they followed, collected data from 16,485 participants over a 3-year period.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work.
Do you know this? Mm. The database that they were using when you were there?
Okay. Well, I've heard of the UK Household Longitudinal Study. I've heard of that.
Right.
And we've pulled some data articles that have talked about it before, but it must be a massive study.
It's an enormous study. I remember years ago they did it with epilepsy because I was working in epilepsy at the time. But I haven't used it since then.
Yeah.
But these are longitudinal studies. They track people over time.
Right.
And that's the beauty of this study, is they're tracking the same people over years.
Right. Longitudinal studies usually mean that people are enrolled at one point in their life. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they're enrolled at birth. And
that's right.
The parents will sign them up. And then they will be followed for years and years for most of their life.
And it's really valuable research.
And data are collected every year or every couple of years just to kind of see where people go. And that's how we get the data that, you know, if this happened early in childhood, then you have this relationship later in life. So.
Right. And these are very expensive, this kind of longitudinal research with large numbers of people. It's very expensive research to do it.
Yes.
It usually requires government commitment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some of the European countries are better at it than we are
because
the government is more involved in healthcare.
Right.
But they want to track efficacy, effectiveness of procedures, and what happens long term. And so we typically don't do that in our country.
Right.
We rely on grants from from private companies or private foundations. And typically those grants are time limited.
You
can get 2 years of funding or 3 years of funding, or you might get 5 years of funding, and then there are cutbacks and you don't get renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, this study in England has been going on for years.
Right.
We did this one time in this country. It was the Perry Preschool Project, where we brought young children into programs when they were 3 and 4, children in poverty, low SES. And we were able to follow them up into adulthood. And there, again, was valuable information in those longitudinal studies, but they're typically not done in our country.
Right. Now, for this particular research question, they were specifically looking at the relationship between psychological distress, even minor psychological distress, and 4 chronic illnesses, diabetes, arthritis, lung disease, and cardiovascular disease.
Right.
Those were the 4 conditions that they were interested in.
Right.
And they also kind of included some other lifestyle things like diet and exercise and smoking and some of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, here's this quote.
Right.
It says, the quote is from Professor Catherine Gale, and she writes, "Our findings show that even low levels of distress, below the level usually considered clinically significant, appear to increase the risk of developing a chronic disease, so intervention to reduce symptoms of anxiety and depression may help to prevent the onset of these illnesses for some people."
That's right. Yesterday, or the day before yesterday, when we talked about suicide, we talked about public health issues.
Right.
These are preventable diseases.
Right.
All 4 of them are preventable.
Yeah.
But it takes lifestyle changes, okay? And it takes, you know, we talk about the 4 that we talk about, and one of the 4 is stress management.
Right.
You have to learn how to manage your stress.
Right.
Stress is an incredibly destructive agent that we tolerate.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't mind going without sleep, and we don't mind going without proper nutrition. And we have these stressors in our lives that we sort of accept and live with.
Mm-hmm.
The body's not meant to have that onslaught and that chronic daily injury.
Right.
I mean, there's no other word for it.
Yeah.
We talked about Dr. Leslie Korn a few days ago. And she talks about stubbing your toe imagine stubbing your toe every day.
Right.
And she said that's what these nutritional deficits, eating sugar, having stress, not exercising, not sleeping, it's like, think of it as stubbing your toe every day. It's not something you would do.
Right.
You're doing the same thing with stress, even low levels of stress.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So definitely read this article. It's from Medical News Today, and it's out of the UK, and it talks about, you know, the importance and risk. And you have some statistics that you were going to present because they're pretty significant.
Yeah, and I like the way they did it because they talk about, and it doesn't explain how they did that, how they decided who's low stress, moderate stress, and high stress.
Right.
Okay. But the numbers are astonishing.
Right.
You know, when you look at the numbers, because, for example, with arthritis, if you have low levels of distress, you have a 57% more likelihood that you're going to get symptoms of arthritis, joint pain.
So a 57% increase in risk for arthritis as compared to people who don't have stress.
Right.
So those who don't report any, even low levels of stress, if you have just mild stress, you 57% increased risk.
I was surprised when I saw that number. If you have moderate stress, it's 72%, and if you have high stress, it's 110%.
Right.
So, big numbers. Cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
Low distress, 46%. Moderate, 77%. High, 189%.
Right.
You know, high stress and cardiovascular disease. It's a very strong relationship.
Yeah. So high stress is a major issue, you know, because your risk really increases. But even with the low levels of stress, again, a 46% increase in risk for cardiovascular problems just with low levels of stress, that's huge.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to look into this the COPD, the lung diseases. I don't know as much about those, but I'm going to have to find out because asthma and other pulmonary diseases are a huge problem here in Florida because of the allergies.
Right.
But you wonder about what these other stressors, like moderate stress, 125%, high stress, 148% increase likelihood that you're going to have some kind of lung disease.
Right.
And I don't know as much about that one.
Well, but if you think about all of them, even asthma, you know, that's an inflammatory, you know,
because
you have the inflammation of the bronchi
airways,
that creates the difficulties breathing. Right. So it makes sense that conditions that increase inflammation, increase stress, are going to potentially increase your risk for some of these conditions.
Right. And, you know, there are medications that you can take for all these things. There are anti-inflammatory agents and there are all kinds of drugs you can take. But let's go back a step. That's why we call it a public health issue.
Right.
Let's go back a step and learn how to deal with these things, learn how to prevent them with proper nutrition, exercise, sleep, and stress management.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, check out this article.
Yeah, take a look at that one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.